Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs with me, Giles Bidder, and we have one of the best stories we've had on via James Tidwell from Violent Soho, going to McDonald's on his way for a job through his cousin, getting the interview, and then turning on the radio in his car to find out that his band had been nominated for an ARIA Award that year. So, memories like that and a lot more from James Tidwell coming up right now on 101 Part-Time Jobs. I realised Thurston Moore was the episode before this, and Thurston Moore is the one that signed them. Eventually, they signed to a major label because of that. So there's a nice link there. If this is your first time listening to 101 Part-Time Jobs, have a look. There's been some great guests this summer, and I'm hoping that they'll continue to come in. East London Signature Brew have been brewing music-inspired beers since 2011. You may recognise them from their collaboration beers they've done with the likes of Mogwai, with Enter Shikari, with a whole load of other bands, Mastodon as well. And if you're in England, you can go onto their website, signaturebrew.co.uk, and then you can get 10% off by typing in 101 podcast as a voucher code at checkout. All right, here's James Tidwell from Violent Soho giving us some of the best stories of their career. Cheers for listening. How long have you been a full-time band now? How long has it been your full-time thing?
Full-time? Probably only 2013, I reckon. Maybe 2014, actually. Yeah, 2014. In fact, I could say May 2014. You know, I just remember getting the call from a manager and just being like, hey, like, this is, you know, how it works. And, you know, you're good to get this much a week, basically. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was walking home. So at this point, I was earning at one week out of the month. It's hard to explain, but it was $440. And I used to live on one side of the city and, like, walk across it. It's not that far. It's probably, like, maybe 3-4 kilometers. So it's not far, but to and from, because I had to save money because I had a baby as well as, like, starting family on $440, you know, touring all the time, you know. So I used to have to walk to save money because I couldn't even afford the bus, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And to get that call, it was just like, wow. It's like, holy shit. And I literally stopped straight in at the pub and sat there and had 3 beers and, called my dad on the rest of the walk home. And then, I'll never forget it, you know. It's crazy.
So what were you doing before that?
Well, at that time, I probably had that, you know, one of my most favorite jobs in some ways was I was working at a guitar store and it's called Tim Guitars. Sweet. In Brisbane. Yeah, and he had a record label. We had records in there as well as like lots of vintage gear. He made a lot of design stuff. There's lots of bands coming through. I mean, you know, Shellac were doing in store there. So that was around 2013. I worked there. I don't know for how long, but so that was a really good place to work.
When you were working there, was your mindset kind of like, how far into the future were you looking, I suppose? Maybe that's a tough question.
No, well, I went from not looking into the future at all. So I was just, Heather and I, my wife, had got our first house ever at this point. So at this point, it's 2013, we just got our first house, and we had half of a house. And so we shared half of a house with 7 dudes from Nepal. But we thought that this was real good because they had the downstairs, we had the upstairs, and we lived in West End, and we were just so stoked on life. But, you know, at the same time, Heather was pregnant. And so, like, that was kind of like, oh, I'm probably going to need more than $440 a week, you know. Just released Hungry Ghost, I think, in 2013. So I was still working there at that time. I'd work there every day, and then at 5 o'clock, go to the recording studio to do my parts, and then, you know, do them whatever time and go back. So, and we actually launched that album in that shop. That was the launch show. There was probably like, you know, 200 people there. I don't really remember, but so yeah, the mindset went like pretty crazy because, you know, needed to do that, and then so I needed sort of more money, but like also like the band, like, you know, we were so stoked on the record and we really wanted to tour it and stuff. And then the album comes out, we basically like get way more popular. And my dad died. So, and this all happened within like sort of like my baby was born, my band was big, and my dad died within sort of like, you know, hard to explain, but, you know, in like, seemed like a month, you know. Then the thing became pretty, relevant. And at the same time, you know, had this incredible blessing that, you know, I'm able to be there, you know, for my family in everyday life. All of a sudden, I'm working like, you know, all the time and touring all the time to being home all the time. And yeah,
that makes me think about how you released that first EP. Was it 2006?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
So between 2006 and 2013-14, that's a good chunk to basically spend a lot of your time, money, and effort towards, you know, being in a band which necessarily wasn't financially reaping back.
Man, you can tell you played in a band, eh? Because yeah, you know, isn't it? It's just crazy. The reality, you know. I used to try and explain to people that, you know, playing in a band is a real expensive hobby. It's kind of like motocross. Very, very expensive hobby to get into, to get into. Let alone once you start getting like into the amateur division. Then you're like, you know, you're kind of keen, you know, you're ripping, everything's fun. But that's even more expensive, to, you know. And people used to say, you know, can you believe this venue is pay to play? And I was like, man, as far as I'm concerned, every venue is pay to play.
What kept you going? Because you're all like sort of, well, you have to be childhood friends, teenage friends at least.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of kept you guys going? And because you've kept the same lineup as well, which is rare.
Yeah, we have. I think, you know, we're just not a necessarily a band in a lot of the ways of that we've met people. You know, we meet a lot of bands and have over the years, and we're just sort of not the same as that. I think it's kind of feels like, yeah, I guess like Luke just wrote songs that we, you know, cared enough about that, you know, we believed that this is ripping, you know? So yeah. Once it becomes a common, you know, mindset of like, wow, this is out of nowhere. It's easy to have appreciation. So, you know, I can still honestly say that we appreciate every single moment, you know, because it was not, we never rightfully believed it was ours to receive.
Was it a case of like, what are we going to do? Because, you know, I suppose what you're getting early mid-20s, your friends are getting jobs. You're being like, okay, shit, what are we going to do here so that our families don't think we're complete reprobates?
Well, there's nothing you can do about that. Any support that any band gets from their family is unbelievable as far as I'm concerned. I think it was just like, you know, when you're young, you got that us against the world, you know, mentality. And when you get a sniff of it in like a place like that, you know, and we sort of had such a big hit of success out of nowhere that, you know, in 2010, you know, so.
That was when you got picked up by the major label.
Yeah, well, Thurston Moore, and then through him, like Universal. Once they were excited as well into it, it was like, you know, we made like a 300 grand album or something. Like, I think in total of like recording it and, you know, all that stuff. That's crazy. Our next album, Hungry Ghost, was like $20,000. Yeah, it's definitely a trip, you know. But, you know, being in a band yourself and stuff, it's like, yeah, man, like what's kept us like going is like we are true music fanatics. We love to, you know, we understand the and want to respect, you know, what there was before us kind of thing, I guess, in some way, you know.
When Thurston picked you up and you signed to Universal and when all that stuff happened, how much did that change your day-to-day life in terms of, you know, being around to work, other jobs?
Well, that was the end of all other jobs, really. I mean, that was the first time, I guess, 2009, where we couldn't possibly hold down a job. We all moved to New York, and by the time we got there, I don't know when, but just before Christmas till October the following year, we did like 210 shows in a year. So there was no job happening, but there was also no like wage either. You know, it was like living off PD, which we thought was incredible, you know. But you're young and it's the best thing in the world. But, you know, the reality is, you know, you're starving.
How long did you stick it out in New York for?
A year. Yeah.
Was that a visa issue or?
No, that was, I couldn't live there. That is for sure. That is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's next level. People thought we were moving there as in like from the band and stuff. And yeah, I was just like, hell no. As soon as like I could go, I left. And yeah, my wife, all our wives lived with us. We all lived in a apartment. So it's like eight of us in like a three bedroom unit. It was gnarly. This is after we've already been a band, you know, for a few years.
It sounds like you've had a good support unit throughout that. And I guess when it comes to like reality, even if necessarily you don't have a great income or steady income, if you've got a support unit, maybe you don't necessarily feel the pressure of that.
Wow, dude. Yeah. Yeah. You're very right. Yeah. That's so true.
And when you got back from New York, what were you doing at home? What were you doing back in Brisbane?
Well, I got to go without a job for 6 weeks. And then my wife was like, because we're living with her sister, and she's like, you're going to have to do something. And yeah, I mean, we are so poor. And, but we got a roof, you know, like, and so I was kind of hoping that we'd get a tour so I could avoid reality, but it just didn't really happen. And then, I went to get a job, my first job. I called up my cousin. He worked at McDonald's, and I was like, can you get me a job? And he's like, yep. So I drove in, and I pulled in the car park, and I got a text message from my mate as I'm in the car park that said, congratulations. And I was like, congratulations on what? And he's like, and I could tell like he was a bit weird about it. And he wrote, your haircut. I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, and then I had to go and do the interview. So I walked in and I went through the whole McDonald's interview. I'm like 28 years old or something, tour of the world playing like Lollapalooza and stuff. And, we were like 6 months played track on K-Rock at the time, you know, it was crazy. And next minute I'm sitting at home getting a job at my local McDonald's. And anyway, I went through the whole interview and someone's like, oh, I saw you at Splendor in the Grass and stuff. That one of the kids as I was going through, and I was like, this is so heavy. And and then I came out and I sat in the car and he's like, yeah, you got the job, no worries. And I sat in the car and I turned on the car, and on the radio, they said, Violent Soho is nominated for Best Rock in the Arias. And I mean, at the time, a nomination for that was like ridiculous for a band like us to even think of, even sort of being nominated in that sort of thing. And so I literally heard that in the car, and that's when I was like, oh, my mate must have heard earlier and then didn't want to like ruin
it. Right.
But meanwhile, I've just done an interview at McDonald's. And anyway, so I go to do the job, and on the way, I'm driving there. And nothing against, you know, anything, like, you know, but I just pulled over and called up and quit on my first day. I pulled over right out the front of it. I was like, no, I can't. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I've done that sort of stuff before, you know. I always say my favorite job, best job I've ever had was I worked at Subway. And
how come?
I loved it. Because, like, there's nothing, you don't have to feel guilty for making anyone a sandwich.
A sandwich is the greatest gift.
It is. It really is. And, like, I like to think, like, you can just get stoned all day, have the NBA on, or, like, in the summer, the cricket, you know, and watch it and just make anyone the sandwich they want. And you just stand there and be like, yeah, you want a sandwich. There's your sandwich. It's like, man, see you tomorrow. You know, it's.
And the thing is, you can't fuck up the condiments thing, because obviously, clearly, they decide.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If they don't like it, they only have themselves to blame.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a guilt-free, it's a cruisy living. I mean, I even looked in at getting a franchise with our drummer, Mikey, because he worked at one too. And we came off to him, we're like, you know what, that is the perfect job. But and then we're like, but we'll get our... Like, it's ridiculous to pay for one. So you may as well do your own sort of style in a cool place. But pretty much the same thing. Just, you know, your meats aren't slimy, you know. So, yeah, so that was the idea. We wanted to call it Super Sandwich. But that's still the dream, you know.
We one day
get to get back to working the same job we did when we were like 16.
So that was James Tidswell from Violent Soho on 101 Part-Time Jobs. This was one of the first interviews I did this year, and I didn't really know what I was doing. So I pressed stop recording before we had any chance to kind of wrap it up or goodbyes or any of that shit. But if you enjoyed that, there's loads more episodes. Thurston Moore before this, as I already said. If you like this episode, if you like this podcast, go ahead and rate and subscribe. Give it 5 stars, obviously, and go and enjoy yourself. Cheers for listening. I've been working all day for me, mate, on the side.
This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.